there's just something about Christmas presents that you get these gifts, and maybe you spend some time looking through old drawers in your house, and you discover previous Christmas gifts, and you notice how they no longer work, do they? Batteries are gone, fuses have blown, their technology that's now just out of date, and you look at it and you think, can you get such a thing as a Christmas present that lasts, that will endure, and that will be there for not just next year, but maybe many years into the future? And that's something that we may all sense. And it's a reflection, really, isn't it, of life. Can we find anything in life that will last? Will you find relationships that will last? Will you find just a marriage that will last, a friendship that will last? These are things that you can't take for granted, can you? It's so easy for any of these things not to last. But I want to think tonight of a little bit why some things don't last, because there's a certain amount of darkness in this world that can impact our lives. But as we think of darkness, it's only so that we can highlight and celebrate what is the heart of Christmas, which is what? It is the light of Christ descending into the darkness. And that's something that will last. But as you look around us, there is darkness, is there not, around us? I don't know if you follow the news much. The wise people here amongst us, they tell me they never listen to the news because it's just depressing. But if you do follow it a little bit, there's the sheer geopolitical situation in the world. And it's so uncertain. What is going to happen? How many wars will we see in the future? What will happen there? So there's a lot of darkness around in our times. But there's also the possibility that even in 2025, some of you, I know, you've had your own personal lives touched by a certain amount of darkness. This is the darkness of grief. You've lost someone you loved. And for some of you here, maybe you lost someone many years ago, but this time, right now, Christmas, kind of brings all of that back to you. And that's such a burden to bear in the darkness of that loss. But it goes even deeper. There's another darkness that can trouble us even more. When you sense an inner darkness, when you fight with your own desires and you want to do something that's right, and yet you end up giving in and you end up struggling to do the right thing in life. And in that moment, we sense that all of us, myself included, that we've just got this heart that has a real taint of darkness that often expresses itself in weakness and the inability to do the right thing and just being consistent. And so we feel that inner battle as well. In fact, Scripture tells us there's really three levels of darkness. There's that inner battle with darkness, what the Bible calls sin. But there's a spiritual darkness in this life as well that Scripture associates with a being of tremendous evil called Satan. And that's another level to the complexities of life. And then there's just that darkness around us in this world, that as believers in Jesus, you will find that sometimes there's things that allure you and draw you away from your faith in Christ, and you have got to deal with that regularly. So in all of these ways, the darkness can be around us, but we are not here tonight to talk about the darkness. We are here to celebrate the gift of light and a light that comes before us. And that is the beauty of everything that we see in that very first story, very first account of Jesus' birth into this world. And I want to suggest to you that perhaps the very fact that you are in this building tonight is because we're all ultimately like a moth that's drawn to the candle flame, that our hearts sense that there's a world of darkness around us. But tonight you're here because you long for light. And you have the audacity to think that it might be found in a church. And I want to share with you tonight, you're in the right place. Not because there's anything special about the church, the people of God, or the building that you're in, but because God has drawn you here tonight. And God wants to touch your very innermost soul, your core of who you really are. And so you've come here tonight daring to believe that maybe there is hope somewhere in this world. And that is exactly what these words that we have read celebrate tonight. Because John, in that very glorious chapter 1 that he opens his account of the life of Jesus, said to us in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Just think of that promise there. The darkness has not overcome it. That word, overcome, you could translate it in all kinds of ways. It can mean to lay hold of, to grasp, to obtain something. But the darkness can't do that. To overtake something or to surprise something. But the darkness cannot do that with God. To take possession, to comprehend or to understand. That word means all of those things. And yet it's saying here, the darkness cannot do those things. Because God is the ultimate source of light. And evil cannot defeat God. It cannot overcome him at all. And so that's the promise here, because 2,000 years ago, the light of God broke in a unique way into human history. Real fact, real history, real timeline. And God, the author of all of life, became a human being, born as a helpless infant into the darkness of this world, surrounded by a murderous king with the swords of killers, fleeing as a refugee, yet whose birth was heralded by a great star, a great light. The best thought there was a comet of incredible size streaking through the heavens, pinpointing the exact spot where the darkness of this world would be overcome. Now take yourself back to that first night. Mary and Joseph in that stable, in that barn, trying to look after a newborn baby. Shepherds out on the hillside. Suddenly, their dark, cold night is transformed as they hear angelic sounds. And then suddenly, beings of tremendous light breaking through the darkness, telling them that something amazing has happened, telling them, go to town, head into town, and you will discover God's answer to all the darkness of the world. And if you were there, you'd have heard that. You'd be stumbling. You'd be in shock. You'd be in surprise. You would then be maybe awestruck. And your whole sense of anticipation would have been cultivated, and you'd have rushed into town, out of the hills, forgetting the sheep, running in to see God's answer. And you find the place, and you open it up, and there's this man and this woman, and there's the answer to the darkness. And it's just a baby. A tiny, helpless baby whose breath could be silenced in a second, whose only supporters were going to be these shepherds and his immediate family. What hope for a world in darkness? Hardly. And yet, what are we doing 2,000 years later? We are celebrating the birth of that one child. Because for 2,000 years, generation after generation of people have discovered that he is a light in the darkness. They have seen their own personal stories of all the levels of darkness that we've touched on, transformed by the light and the work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And 2,000 years on, and should he tarry for another 2,000 years, you will find generations more who will still be proclaiming that Christ is the light in the darkness. Why so? Because here's a strange thing. In order to bring us this light in dark places, he had to descend and fall into the darkness, as if the darkness of evil actually had defeated him. Do not let the Christmas story for you this year be your religious fix and leave it there. You must journey on from the light of Christmas all the way to the end of the life of Christ if you want to understand the solution of how one helpless babe could be the light that would dispel the darkness of this world. Because in his cross, in his death, it was like he was taking, absorbing, drawing into himself all the evil of this world. In fact, the Bible says something shocking. It says he became sin for us. He never sinned, never done a dark deed in his life, but it was as if he had sinned, as if he had lived my life, your life, and everything that you've ever done that shocked yourself and others. And to think that he would be willing to do that, and yet he is, so that he can bring a freedom over anything in our lives. Evil cannot overcome God, and that's why the darkness cannot overcome. However exactly human history will end one day, it will end on that theme and on that note. Question is, will your personal history, your own personal life, end on that? It can. If you come to this Jesus, if you become a follower of this Jesus, if you continue to follow this Jesus, then you'll find the darkness of loneliness will be gone, of that hopelessness in life, of that terrible fear of the unknown and of death. What are the shadows tonight in your life? What are the things you're most scared of as you head into 2025? What things might seem most uncertain for you? This is telling you very simply right now that if you walk with Christ, he is greater than any of those things. And that you will be following a sure light, no matter how dark your life might get. And so the light of God is calling us. You step into 2025, where will you go? What will it look like? This is giving you a promise. Verse 5 is giving you a promise that the light will overcome and that the darkness will not. Is it a promise saying that your life will be free from suffering or illness, trauma or heartache? No, it's not saying that. Darkness is real. Evil is real. But it's saying that it won't have the final word in your life. That instead, God in his love and in his light and in his presence will have the final say over every step. So that means that no matter the greatness of the darkness you might feel, the inner guilt, the inner shame, maybe some of you here have lived things that mean you feel a little bit uncomfortable coming into church tonight because you sense that your life is not exactly where God would want it to be. But here's the great news. Christ can wipe out everything that stains your conscience or my conscience. If you're a Christian tonight and you failed him again and again and again, I'm saying to you, Christ can wipe that out. He can renew. And maybe tonight he's calling you to restart that journey of faith again if it's become cold and if it's gone into the darkness. So whatever it is in 2025 that comes, and if there's a world one day, the darkness is that darkness of the grave, and it wants to wrap its dark shroud around your very soul and drag you downwards. In that moment, remember, the darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. And he will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, listen. Listen now. In this stillness, in this moment, that God has got you here for a purpose. He's speaking to you. And he's telling you, come to my son. Receive this Christ. Bow before him as Lord and Savior. Follow him wherever he leads you in 25 and beyond. And the darkness will never have the final say in your life. Amen? Never. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, oh, flood our hearts with joy and thankfulness tonight that you are here, that you are a living Savior. We love the story, we love the history, we love that it's there recorded for us, events 2,000 years ago, but tonight's different. Tonight is worship. We reconnect to the one who was there and the one who is alive, and you are present by the Holy Spirit of God. In this place right now, we are before God. Oh, help us to stand in awe of that fact right now. Help the reality and the truth of that to overwhelm our souls. And Lord Jesus, whatever 2025 may bring, we commit every footstep of every day and of every hour into your hands. And we pray that you will lead us and that you will guide us. We pray that we will hear the Savior's earnest call, Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all. Jesus, light of the world. Come confess him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the bells of heaven will ring. Jesus, light of the world. Amen. Amen.